your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Indeed. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back to our Tuesday Spaced Out scenario.
Good to be back.
What's going on in the greater beyond?
Don't know if you went along to Brian Cox. He was here giving a talk last week.
I did not.
Who is he? And apparently he's got a plan to save the world.
Oh, perfect.
Well, Brian Cox, led a rock band, but he's actually also an astrophysicist and involved with discovering things about atoms and the beginning of the universe, but he's a very popularizer of science.
Sorry, what rock band? Do we know? Actually, this is a great question for the prize that we have later on.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we should hold off on that and you just carry on and we'll reiterate at the end. That sounds great. Let's do that.
Yeah, well, lucky I didn't tell you the answer. Anyway, he's come up with an approach to all the world's problems, basically.
Perfect. Was anybody there writing some stuff down?
Oh, well, I think so. Emma Reynolds, apparently, the reporter. So what he's saying is, look, instead of cutting back on energy use by turning off your power and lights and air conditioning and commissioning more power plants, he say what we should do is basically turn Earth into being purely residential and move the production of energy into outer space.
Okie dokie.
This sounds quite complicated.
But there's plenty of resources out there. The whole asteroid belt, the way they put it is, if you took the metals in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, you could build a skyscraper 8,000 stories tall and cover the whole Earth with it.
Far out. And also, I guess, any emissions and bad stuff that just gets chucked out into the old space, doesn't it?
You don't want to do too much of that because it has a habit of coming back and hitting you in the back of the head very quickly.
Does it?
Yeah. It's going to go around the sun and keep on going until it hits something.
Okay.
It might be you. That's the problem.
Right.
No, I think there's other ways of dealing with that side of it. But, yeah, I think the basic idea is, move energy production into space and try and keep Earth clean and residential as a basic sort of policy, I guess.
It's more about long-term future. Is it more about the minerals and stuff that's out in space? Or is that what they're getting at? Like, there's plenty of crap out there we can mine.
Or is it more of, solar?
Where are we getting solar?
Well, both, really. Right. There's the actual energy itself, which can be sent down to Earth, but then the resources in the way of metals and other minerals and elements that is in abundance out there. He's not giving details or anything, something like this. It's a very much a broad brush philosophy, I guess.
Idea.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm sort of thinking about that, trying to think of what reasons why it might be a bad idea, and I haven't come up with many, I have to say.
Cool.
Now, the Rocket Lab, which is down there near Mahia, yes?
Yeah, well, they're actually based in near the airport in Auckland.
Okay.
That's where they build the rockets and so on. They launched a rocket back in May, which was very successful. It didn't quite reach orbit. It had to be terminated because a couple of things went wrong. But they've got their second one, which has now been moved down to Mahia. So their launch complex is at Mahia, but the rockets are built up here. So they're very, well, they think it's slow. They say it's only a few months and that they've got the second one ready. I mean, to me, it seems a snail pace, but maybe I'm impatient.
You're used to NASA turnaround.
I mean, the first rocket back in May was called It's a Test. And this one is called Still Testing.
What about, why don't we just call it Might Blow Up? How's that sound?
Oh, that's a bit negative, don't you think?
it's just the names are a little bit like, oh, this is just a test. Just sounds.
Yeah, I don't think you should apply for their PR job. So anyway, in the next few weeks, hopefully, they'll actually get that one up into orbit. This one's actually carrying a payload. It's got a couple of satellites on board, so that will be used for weather mapping and tracking ship traffic. So hopefully that will work, and the people that build those satellites won't be disappointed.
What size are those satellites? Like, just so I have an idea, like the size of a soccer ball?
They don't say in that sort of detail. They are small. I mean, these are not the big ones that are launched from the States and Russia and so on. But that's the whole point of Rocket Lab, is to launch small satellites much cheaper than anyone else can.
Okie doke.
So let's hope they're successful.
Yeah,
certainly
why not?
Do.
Why
now, Bloodhound.
Yeah.
What is Bloodhound?
Bloodhound's actually a car.
Okay.
Now, back in 1997, and I can't believe it was that long ago, a guy called Andy Green, who's from the RAF, he drove that car in 1997 to break the speed limit. The sound of speed. I'm all mixed up today. Speed of sound.
Speed of sound.
Right,
okay,
yes.
Cool.
That's
cool.
An impressive.
So he was the first person on a land vehicle to achieve that. Okay? So, you know, kudos to him and a great hero. But what he's done in the meantime is to build another car. So he wants to go even faster than that, which to me sounds rather crazy. So his aim now is to break the 1,000 miles per hour barrier.
Hmm.
Which isn't actually a barrier. You know, going past the speed of sound is a real barrier, but it's just a number, I guess. So he's got a new vehicle which has three power plants. It has a Rolls-Royce jet engine,
yep,
from a Typhoon fighter. It has a bunch of hybrid rockets to give it a bit of a boost. And the pump that moves the oxidizer is a Jaguar V8 engine.
And where's he doing this? Out in the salt flats over there in the States? Or?
No, this time, well, the last record was in Jordan, the desert of Jordan, but this time he's going to South Africa.
Okay, cool.
There's a huge salt flat down there, so that's where he's going. But the point is that he's not just built the car, he's successfully done shakedown runs down a runway, and things seem to be working, and who knows, he might even break his own record.
I just did a quick Google search. So 330 meters per second, that's the speed of sound, correct?
Yeah.
And that is, just so people have an idea, that's nearly 1,200 kilometers per hour.
That's right.
So that is fair moving. It's the car that kind of sounds like something Wile E. Coyote would make to chase the roadrunner with.
Acme written on the side.
With a giant rocket on it.
Man.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
he's
even faster than Wile E. Coyote.
Well, I'm going to chalk that up to what an absolute maniac. But good on him.
Yeah. But, you know, he's built it up step by step and piece by piece and seems very logical and so on. So as long as he doesn't make a big mistake at the wheel.
Yeah.
It sounds logical until you talk about what he's actually doing.
Now, media showers?
Yeah, we've had...
We just had a little mini media shower, actually.
Yeah, the one that's coming up called the Leonids is probably... hopefully the most spectacular. It's peaking this weekend, sort of Friday, Saturday morning. So the time to see it is to get out from about 3 a.m. through to about 20 minutes, 30 minutes before sunrise. Looking in the northeast, there's not a huge number of them. It may be up to 20 an hour but at the most, perhaps, but some of them can be quite bright and long-lasting. They can have long trails. They can... different colours and so on. So it's worth, if you are up on those mornings, just have a look out the northeast and hopefully the cloud stays away.
Okie doke.
Now, we've had a text in.
Got a question. Has there been any UFO sightings? I live in Westmere and it's going off.
Do you think they're seeing UFOs in
Westmere? We just play it as it lies, David, up here at 95 BFM Drive. I don't know if you noticed.
There's always reportings of UFOs that, you know, they sort of come and go during the year.
Is Westmere a hotspot?
But I'm afraid no actual aliens.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen a UFO before, but not a close encounter. It was very strange, though.
Which kind, though?
Your testimony would not count. They have to drug test you.
Now, so what's coming up at the Stardome in the next couple of days, David?
One thing is starting on Saturday, we've got the Great Christmas Give Back. So if people want to donate to the City Mission Auckland or the SPCA...
Good vibrations.
Bring things along to Stardome, and you can check that out on our link online at stardome.org.nz. That goes through to the 19th of December. If you do that, you'll get a admission to our shows for $6 per person, so a big discount there.
Nice.
That's a nice thing to do as well, obviously, for the people at Christmas who don't have enough.
That's right. And then on Thursday night, this coming Thursday, four screenings of the movie called The Farthest, which is about the Voyager spacecraft, which has gone further than any other probe that's been sent out into space. So there's this Thursday and then Thursday next week at the last two screenings of that. They're at 8 p.m. and it's $25 with a glass of wine or beer and some snacks.
Nice. Or for BFM listeners, we actually have a double pass for this Thursday. And as we said earlier, we're talking about old mate Brian Cox has a plan to save the world. Look, Texas, just text in 53955 and let us know who Brian Cox, what band he used to be in, and we'll fix you up a double pass to catch the Thursday edition, or this Thursday, of the Farthest.
Yay, wish I could go into that.
You can, you got the text number, don't you?
Well, I've just remembered the answer.
All right, hey, fantastic. Thank you so much for getting in touch, David, and we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it.
Head on down to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium, everyone. Cheers, David.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.